Today's daf is about the Zara daf Samuch Vav. Let's try to get to that Tosos a little bit. There are a couple of very important Tosos in today's daf. But if we don't get to them today, we'll get to them tomorrow. So let's get to yesterday's Tosos a little bit. The Gemara had said that if you have a beged, Sha'avad Bo Klayim, if you have a beged that Shatnes was lost in that beged somewhere, you can't sell it to an Ovid Kochavim, nor can you make it a Merdaris L'chamor, but also some Tachrich L'meis Mitzvah. You can make it into Tachrichin for a Meis Mitzvah. You can make it shrouds for a Meis Mitzvah. So on that point, that you can make it into shrouds for a Meis Mitzvah, says Tosfos, even if you know there's shatnas in there and you know exactly where it is, it's just pasha the shatnas beged, you're allowed to make a tachrichin for a meis mitzvah. Fractosos im tomar ha'ika loig larash, kedarmin gabe tzitzis perikat cheles, v'yishayta vader aminu lehu misham loig larash. But isn't there a concept called loig larash, which means that when someone is dead, they're no longer able to do mitzvahs, and therefore it's inappropriate for us to sort of bring that to their attention, to show them, to demonstrate in any way that they are no longer capable of doing mitzvahs, and we are. Like the Gemara says that if you have tzitzis, it's a problem of loig l'rash. Rashi Tos explains over here, Pirush Bosa Shashi Bru Yatilu Bo Tzitzis. If you bury a mace without tzitzis, it's a problem of loig l'rash, because you're showing, look, now that he's dead, he can't do the mitzvah of tzitzis anymore. Mishum loig l'rash and nir sheinu chayiv b'mitzvos. It makes it very evident that he's not chayiv b'mitzvos. So isn't that the same problem over here? If you have a beged that has shatness in it, and it's not even shavad bo klayim, it just straight out has shatness in it, that you're going to put that on a mace, isn't that a problem? The loig l'rash says Tosfos Yeshlomo de shiny tzitzis she shkula keneged kol a mitzvah suika loig tfei. Maybe loig l'rash is limited to the mitzvah of tzitzis, because tzitzis is the equivalent of all the other taryag mitzvos, and therefore it's a real mockery of the person that, look, you can't do any of the taryag mitzvos. But if there's a particular mitzvah that is not representative of all the mitzvos, maybe that's not such a bad loig l'rash. That's why the loig l'rash that we know of, that we practice all the time, is when we go into a cemetery, we always know that we have to tuck our tzitzis in, that if our tzitzis are hanging out, we should tuck our tzitzis in. Loig l'rash that we're wearing tzitzis, showing the mace, look, you're not wearing tzitzis. Dafka be the mitzvah of tzitzis, maybe. V'Rabbi Yehuda ya'omer da'ahidim emnachos aliba d'shmuel da'azal l'tamei dislay ein mitzvos b'teil s'asalavo nimtzak sh'yamdu ha'at tzadikim b'l'vushem yu b'lo tzitzis v'yesh kanavera. Or you could say, maybe the idea that you want to make sure that the mason, that the dead bodies, that the dead bodies have tzitzis, is according to the shita that there's no such concept of mitzvos betelos lasadavo. That even lasadavo, after tchias ha-mesim, the mesim are going to be chayav mitzvos. So we're not putting on the tzitzis on the mesim right now because of loig l'rash, because we're worried that they're going to be upset that they're not doing mitzvos anymore. No, we're putting the tzitzis on the mesim because we know that they're going to have tchias ha-mesim one day, and when they have tchias ha-mesim, they're going to need to be wearing tzitzis. So that's why we do it. That which we say loig l'rash, that's more about the fact that the other people who are alive or in the cemetery are wearing tzitzis and the mesim aren't. But the fact that the mesim should be wearing tzitzis is a separate reason. They should be wearing tzitzis anyway, because when they get up, they're going to be chayiv in mitzvos. If you assume ein mitzvos betelos la'asadavo, Gemara Maseches Nida, that mitzvos are batel la'asadavo. It's unclear. There's a major machlokes Rishonim exactly what that means. At which stage is the la'asadavo where mitzvos are batel? Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out in his Hagos and Maseches Rosh Hashanah, I believe, where the Gemara says that why is it that Chadash is Asur until the entire second day of Pesach passes? Why don't we say that it should be Mutter at Mishahera Yom, which is really the Ikra Din, that it should be Mutter as soon as the day starts? So the Gemara explains in Rosh Hashanah, because we're afraid that if we make it Mutter early on in the day, nowadays on the second day of Pesach, then next year it's going to be a Beis HaMikdash, and only that Krovas HaOmer is really going to be Matir, and people are going to say, well, last year it was Mutter Mishayera Yom, last year it was Mutter right away, so this year it should be Mutter right away also, and they're not going to wait for the Karban Omer. Frakter Yaakov Emden, what do you mean? The Beis HaMikdash, that's going to come after the Geula Hasida. Isn't that La'asadavo? Aren't there going to be no more mitzvahs? So he points out that you have to be careful how you define La'asadavo. I think we mentioned this recently, Yemos HaMashiach, during the days of Yemos HaMashiach, we're still for sure going to have mitzvahs. La'asadavo means that some point later, some point after the Yimel Samashiach. So Tchias HaMesim maybe comes at some point after that, where then it's going to be Shayach La'asal Davo. Others understand La'asal Davo just means in the Olam HaNeshamos, that the person is dead, and once he's dead, he doesn't have any more mitzvos. That the concept of mitzvos petelos La'asal Davo relates very much to the concept of Kivin Shemes Adam Nasa Chavshi Min HaMitzvos, that when a person dies, he's Chavshi, he's free from mitzvos when he dies. While he's dead, he's obviously free from mitzvos. But anyway, it says the Gemara tells us by through Shmuel Muki Hach Dahacha Kedivir Rabbi Yane Delo Shari El Softo Avil Kovro Beklayim Asr Mitam Depreshes. Maybe even over here where we say that you're allowed to put shatness on a dead body, maybe that's only when you're being maspid him, because now he's not chayv mitzvos. But when you bury him, you need to make sure he's not wearing shatness, because one day he's going to get up at Tchias HaMesim and you don't want him to be wearing shatness. Ulfi Zeh HaChilik, he says, now we understand our minhag. Nicha minhagenu sha'anu masirin atzitzis mitalis hamesim. Now we understand, we put him in a talis, and then we remove the tzitzis from the talis. The kaimelik Rabbi Yochum, the palaga adbe Rabbi Yana, vishari af lekovro, ultaimei de islei mitzvos petelos, because we hold mitzvos petelos. So we're not worried about burying him in shatness. And Tosa says, vayter, that toward the end, Rabbi Yitzchak, hayi mechalik l'rishonim, shahayu lehem b'chayeyim, davu zihiri b'mitzvot tzitzis, kol yemehen, ilo ramina hishayta havi la'ag. He says another idea in Loig L'Rush. What is it, Loig L'Rush? If you have someone whose entire life was very makpid about the mitzvah of tzitzis, and then when you bury him, you go and you don't bury him in tzitzis. That's a lag. Kolomar lokimu. Avle inna del zahiri b'tzitzis kulehai. Unbelievable sociological comment of Tosfos. Tosfos says, but nowadays where no one really wears tzitzis anyway, adraba iraminan havi lag. So if you were to put tzitzis on him when he's dead, that would be the lag. That would be Loig L'Rush. Lomar shekiyem v'lokiyem v'afil losan shekimu en lahatir shlo levay. Because if a guy never wore tzitzis his entire life, now you put on tzitzis on him when he's dead. So achshav, now he decides he's going to start doing mitzvos now that it's too late. So that's the lag. And he says, therefore, since there are people like that, even when people do wear tzitzis during their lifetime, shalola vayesh, as mishayin alovesh, in order not to embarrass those who didn't wear tzitzis during their lifetimes, that's why we don't want to put on tzitzis on any of the mesim. So there's a major machlokas in the Rishonim. Should you put tzitzis on a dead body? Should you not put tzitzis on a dead body? Should you put them on and passel them? Major, major discussion in Rishonim in third parak of Moed Katan, and this is a major discussion in this Tosos, but primarily you look in the Rishonim third parak of Moed Katan. They have this conversation. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter Tanan. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines before the end of the page. Tanan. Yayin nesach shnafal gavei anavim. If you have yayin nesach that falls on grapes, yadichan vehin mutaros. All you need to do is rinse off the grapes, and the grapes are going to be totally mutter. That was our Mishnah. V'im ha'yimuvuka'os asuros. But if the grapes were cracked, the Mishnah said, if there were cracks in the grapes, it was the peel of the grape was cracked in some way, was open, was sliced in some way, then it's going to be asur, because then the yayin creeps into the grape, it gets past the peel, and there's no way to get it out. What does that tell you, though? Muvuka'os in, shein muvuka'os lo. Only if they were cracked. But if they were ein muvuka'os, if they weren't cracked, then it's not going to be a problem. Then it's going to be mutter. Why is this any different than what we said yesterday with the wheat? Right? What was the last thing we said? That there were kari dechiti, that there was some wheat that nafala chavisa di yayin esach, that a barrel of yayin esach had fallen on. Right? So we said that Rava permitted selling it to a guy. So we're saying now that wait a second. Over here we're saying that that if it's ein muvukaos, then it's no problem. So it would be totally mutter. So why is that any different than the wheat? Shouldn't the wheat be totally mutter? What do you mean selling it to a guy? So Amar of Papa, shiny chiti hol vag of tzirayu kumuvukaos damian. Now chitim have certain cracks in the natural way it grows. Even if it's not damaged in any way, it has cracks, and therefore it's always like grapes that are muvukaos. So therefore, it's always going to be us, and we're always going to assume you cannot get the tam of the yayin out of the chiti. Fine. Chamra Atika Ba'anvi, says the Gemara the following case. Let's say you have old wine, aged wine, that gets mixed into grapes. And Rashi points out, Ta'amo Nikar Ba'anavim, that the assumption is the ta'am of the wine is going to be clearly recognizable in the grapes. It doesn't taste at all like the grapes, and you'll be able to taste the wine in the grapes. So Divrei HaKol B'Nosin Ta'am. So everyone's going to say, as long as you have Nesinas Ta'am from the wine into the grapes, you've got a problem, right? If it's Yayin Nasach, that as long as the Yayin is Nosin Ta'am into the grapes, and therefore we have to be Mishayir B'Shishim. You measure based on 60, because we assume that with Pachas Mishishim, you're not going to be able to detect the taste, and therefore it's going to be Mutter. But as long as you can detect the taste of the Yayin, it's going to be Aser. What if you have not old wine, but Chamra Chadita B'Invi? You have new wine that gets mixed in with grapes. Now, new wine is like grape juice. It tastes very much like the grapes. It's not a different taste. So Abayi Amar B'Mashahu. So you can't detect the taste. What are you going to detect? The taste the same. So Abayi says, even a mashu of the wine is going to Aser the grapes. Rava Amar B'Nosin Tam. Rava says, no, you still go with Nosin Tam. What do you mean Nosin Tam? You can't taste anything. So he means Shishim. That you go with the Shishim. You go with the normal measurement of what Nosin Tam would be. Why? What's the chilek? What are they arguing about? Abayi Amar B'Mashahu. So Abayi seems very logical. Of course it's a mashu. Basar Taima Azlinan. Because really the halacha should be that we go with Tam. We go with how it tastes. The problem over here is that they taste exactly the same. They both have the same exact taste. The havile min bimino, and therefore, since they have the same exact taste, it's like a taroves of two like kinds of min bimino, and the halacha is min bimino b'mashahu, that min bimino is never going to be batal. Min bimino is aser, even b'mashahu. What's the idea of min bimino b'mashahu? Why is min bimino b'mashahu? So the Rishonim explain that the whole idea of bittul with min b'she'en omino is if I have milk that falls into chicken soup, so it's min b'she'en omino, and the chicken soup so overwhelms the taste of the milk and any characteristics of the milk that the milk becomes batel because it didn't contribute anything into the chicken soup. All of its characteristics are completely nullified within the larger and swallowed up by the larger chicken soup. But min b'mino, let's say I have some trefa chicken soup that falls into some kosher chicken soup. So what are you going to say? They taste exactly the same. So the trefa chicken soup falls in, a drop of trefa chicken soup falls in, so you're going to say it's batel. All the characteristics of the trefa chicken soup, the taste and the aroma and all the characteristics of the trefa chicken soup are gone? No, they're not gone. Adrabah. When it was in small quantity before it fell in, okay, you can maybe taste a little bit of it. It was barely, it didn't have the richness. Now it falls into more chicken soup and it becomes even stronger. The more you have of the like kind, the stronger it becomes. So the whole concept of bittul doesn't make sense by min bimino. That's the svara for the day of the shita of min bimino bimashu. So Abayi says, look, if the two things taste exactly the same, it's got to be asr bimashu because there can't be any form of bittul. V'rava amar b'no same time. Rava says, no, you still have to measure based on Nosin Tam. Why? They taste the same. Basar Shema Azlinan. When we're determining whether something is called Min Bimino or Min B'She'eno Mino, whether they're considered to be like kinds or two unlike kinds, we don't look at how they taste. We're interested in what they're called. V'hai Shema Luchud, V'hai Shema Luchud. One is called wine, one is called grapes. Since they're called by two different names, that's called Min B'She'eno Mino. V'avle Min B'She'eno Mino, O Min B'She'eno Mino B'no Sein Tam. And the rule is, Min B'She'eno Mino is always B'no Sein Tam. So this is a very important sugya in halacha, obviously. Whenever you have a tarovis, are we looking at the names of the items, or are we looking at the tastes of the items when determining whether something is min b'mino or min b'she'eno mino? Shulchan Aruch writes in Yerodeyasim in Sadiches, Si'if Beis, that if you have a tarovis of min b'mino, you have a mixture of two like kinds, and it spills in a way that you can't tell how much. You can't tell if you have shishim or not. You know that you for sure have rov of the heter, keneged a miut of the iser, but you don't know if you have shishim. So says Shulchan Aruch, if you know that you have rov heter, that's good enough to make it mutter. So the reason is, the Torah says in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, is min b'mino, since it's not nosin tam, really midaoraisa min b'mino is batal b'rov. It's only midarabanan that we require more than rov, that we require shishim on min b'mino. It's only midarabanan. And since you know that you had rov, and you're just not sure if you had shishim, what you essentially have is a Safik Drabanon, Safik Drabanon, Lekula. As opposed to if you didn't even know if you had Rov, then it's a Safik Daraisa, we go Lechumra. Now, the Ramah adds over there, and this is the critical point I wanted to bring out, the Ramah says, oh, and in regards to determining what's called Min B'mino versus what's called Min B'sheino Mino, you go Basar Shma. Follow the name of the item, what it's called, not what it tastes like. Says this, and the Shach explains, because if it's the same name, even though it's not the same taste, that's called min b'mino, and it would be asr midrabanan. And if it's not the same name, even if it is the same taste, it would be min b'sheino mino, would be asr minatora. Frek the Shach on the Ramah, but wait a second. What's the whole point of min b'sheino mino asr? Why is it that min b'sheino mino you need shishim for? Where'd the magical number shishim come from? The magical number 60? Because we assume that when you have 60 times the volume of the kosher to the non-kosher, that it's mevatel the taste. You can't detect the taste. So frek the Shach, how does this make any sense? You go basar shma, you follow the name when you're determining whether it's min b'mino or min b'sheino mino. The whole difference between min b'mino versus min b'sheino mino in halacha is going to be whether it's batel b'shishim. Shishim is a din in taste. It's not a din in what it's called. When something is mixed in 60 times, you don't, the name isn't lost. The name is lost way before that, probably. The name of the item isn't lost. It's the taste that's lost. So why would you go basar shma? So the Shach says it has to be you go basar taima, right? That's what the Shach paskins. You have to say that you go basar taima, that you go basar the taste and not basar the shame. What's the problem? Problem is, here we have a machlokas. This machlokas Ramah and the Shach seems to predate Ramah and the Shach by a lot. It's machlokas Abaye and Rav in the Gemara. Abaye says you go basar taima, Rav says you go basar shma. Problem is, according to the Shach, whenever you have machlokas Abaye and Rava, halach is always like Rava, except for Yal Kigam. And this is not one of the Yal Kigams. So the halacha should be like Rava over here, that you go Basar Shema, not Basar Taima. So as much as the Shach has Svara on his side, that after all, the whole concept of Shishim is all Tali and taste, and therefore, of course, we should go Basar Taima, not Basar Shem, that's very nice, but Shach, you're paskening like Abaye. How is he allowed to paskin like Abaye? So the Shach obviously was aware of this sugya, and he addresses it directly. He says, even though the Rav over here in the Gemara says you go basa the taste, the shame, and not basa the taste, in regards to min b'mino, he says, hainu dafka le'inyan yai nesach v'tevel sha'osrim b'mashuhu min b'mino. That's only when it comes to those items, like yai nesach and tevel, that asr min b'mino b'mashuhu. That if it's of like kinds, we'll asr b'mashuhu. V'hilkach imush Shava b'shma, afal gav del shava b'taima, havle min b'mino, va'asr b'mashu. Therefore, if it has the same name, even though not the same taste, that's enough of a min b'mino to make it asr b'mashu. V'im eino shava b'shma, and if it doesn't have the same name, afal gav del shava b'taima, even though it does have the same taste, Aser b'nosin tam. Then it's going to be aser b'nosin tam. It's dafka by these items there that it applies though. V'ilkach b'chei agavna sulek mishum tam ke'ikar o achre rab lahatos. So he said dafka by tavli yai nesach, but not by shari surim. Not according to what we hold by shari surim, where really midaraisa would be batal barov, where it wouldn't be aser b'mashu. So that's dafka din by tavli yai nesach. That is the idea of the Shach. So he says it has nothing to do, this sugya has nothing to do with how we're going to paskin by trefa chicken soup and kosher chicken soup and milk and chicken soup. Nothing to do with any of that stuff, because these items are unique. When it comes to Yai Nesach, it's unique that min b'mino is asr b'mashu. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, Tanan, Yai Nesach shnafal gavei anavim. So we had our Mishnah, we said that if wine, Yai Nesach falls on top of grapes, so what did we say? All you need to do is yadichan vein mutaros it off and it's mutter, and we said that if they're cracked, then it's aser. So we assume that we're talking about new wine falling on top of grapes. The Yai Nesach is not old wine, so it tastes the same. It's new wine that tastes just like the grapes. And my love benosin tam, and isn't our Mishnah telling me that it's going to aser benosin tam, that as long as the taste of the wine is detectable within the grapes, that's when it's going to be aser, says the Gemara, and therefore that's a raya to Abaye that we follow Tam. So it says we're lo b'mashuhu. Who says our Mishnah says that it's only Aser b'nosin Tam? The Mishnah just says it's Aser. It just says imhayim uvukos, it's asuros. It doesn't say a word about nosin Tam. It just says that if the Tam gets in there, that it's Aser. So that means it's Aser b'mashuhu. Frak the Gemara, but wait a second. Hamid Ktani Seifa, but if you read weiter in our Mishnah, it says Zeh klal gives us a rule. Kol shebahana aser b'nosin Tam. Aser kol she'in ba nosin b'nosin tam mutter gives the rule. Whenever something is nosin tam l'shvach, whenever it gives a pleasant taste into the tarovas, then it's going to be aser. Whenever the iser gives an unpleasant taste, it's nosin tam l'fgam, then it's going to be mutter. So isn't the implication of the seifa mechal de b'nosin tam askinan that the entire Mishnah, including the Resha, is going with rules of nosin tam, that we're interested in whether taste which was transmitted or not transmitted from the fact that the seifa of the Mishnah is all about nosin tam l'shvach versus nosin tam l'fgam? Doesn't that tell you that this whole Mishnah is really about nosin tam? So isn't that a kasha therefore on Abaye, who says right, Abaye, who says that it's b'mashuhu, right? So v'abaye, meaning even in the case of chamra chadita, even in the reisha case, which we assumed was new wine on grapes, so it sounds like it's a nosin tam issue, not a mashuhu issue. Kashan Abaye says, "This is Gemara v'abaye masnisin b'chamra tika b'invi." Who told you that our Mishnah is talking about new wine that tastes the same as the grapes? Maybe our Mishnah is talking about old wine that doesn't taste the same as the grapes, and then of course you go b'nosin tam. Then of course you're going to measure it based on nosin tam. So Abaye will say, yeah, you're right. The Resha is, from the Sefer you can derive that the Resha is telling you that the measurement that you're going to need in order to, the ratio you're going to need in order to be matir is shishim, is nosin tam, but we're talking about min b'she'en amina. We're talking about two unlike tastes. So that's how Abaye will defend himself. Now, how do we know that the Resha is talking about a case of nosin tam? So he said, because the Seifa talks about nosin tam lefgam. So what does that mean? Just because the Seifa talks about nosin tam lefgam, how do you know that reflects on the Resha referring to nosin tam? So if you look at Tosfos, the top Tosfos, Yesho Yimufarshim, to call Isr Davi b'mashuhu, lo amrinin be nosin tam lefgam mutter. Anytime something's going to be Asr b'mashuhu, let's say Chametz b'Pesach. Chametz Pesach is Asr b'mashuhu, is not batel b'shishim. Do you have a concept of nosin tam l'fgam in Chametz b'Pesach? Now, Chametz b'Pesach gets a little more complicated if the tam was there from before Pesach, because that might be considered tam b'da'atera, before the Zman Yisr. But let's say someone had cooked in a pot Chametz on the first day of Pesach, and then on the third day of Pesach, use that same pot to cook something that's not chametz, to cook perfectly kosher l'Pesach food. So would you say that normally the halacha is that once it's past 24 hours, the pot, whatever taste is palua in the pot, is nosin tam lefgam? We assume that it turns into tam pagum, and therefore isn't going to aser, at least b'dievet, is not going to aser the food that you cook in that pot. But what would you say on Pesach? Chametz b'Pesach is aser b'mashu. Would you apply the heter of nosin tam lefgam chametz b'Pesach? So Tosa says, no, absolutely not. Because the whole idea of Nosin Tam Lefgam is that the Isurim of Tam no longer apply, that the Isurim of Tam are Batel, that Tam Pagum is considered to be Batel. Well, that only works if Bittel works. If there's no Bittel, then you're not going to say that the Isur of that the Tam Pagum is Batel, because it can't be Batel. This Tam can't become Batel. So he says that's what's going on in our Gemara. Umfarish Khan, if you assume that that's correct, that that equation is correct, that whenever something is Aser B'mashu, there is no Heter of Nosin Tam Lefgam, so that's exactly what's going on in our Gemara. We're saying Mechal de Benosin Tam Askinan de Lekach Mutter B'Shein from the fact that we talk about the heter of nosin tam lefgam tells you that we're not talking about an iser b'mashuhu, like Abaye wanted to say that when you have new wine on grapes that it's aser b'mashuhu. It can't be aser b'mashuhu because we discussed the heter of nosin tam lefgam. Nosin tam lefgam doesn't apply to something that's an iser b'mashuhu. That's a Tosfos reads our Gemara. Not all Rishonim read it that way. That's a Tosfos reads our Gemara. Okay, says the Gemara further. Chala de chamra v'chala de shichra. Let's say you have vinegar made of wine and vinegar out of beer, but they're both vinegar. V'chamira de chiti v'chamira de sariyah. Let's say you have wine of wheat or wine of barley. I don't know how you get wine from either one, but let's say it's called wheat wine or barley wine. Abaye yomar b'nosin tam, Basar Tai Mazlin. Abaye says, if these things get mixed with each other, not the vinegar with the wine, but the vinegar with the vinegar, or the wine with the wine, right, if they get mixed with each other, so it's also benosin tam, because Basar Tai Mazlin. Let's say beer vinegar and wine vinegar don't taste the same. And we're always interested in how they taste. V'hai taim aluchud, v'hai taim aluchud. One tastes one way, the other one tastes the other way. And therefore, vavle min b'she'eno mino. It would be defined as a taroves that's min b'she'eno mino of two unlike kinds. Umin b'she'eno mino b'nosin tam. And the halacha is, when you have two unlike kinds that mix together, it's us, b'nosin tam. V'rava amr b'mashu. And Rava will say, no, it's us even b'mashu. I don't care that they don't taste the same. They're called the same thing. Basar Shmazlinan. We follow the name, not the taste. V'haychala mikri, v'haychala mikri. And they're both called vinegar. V'haychamira mikri, v'haychamira mikri. Or they're both called wine, whatever it is. V'avle min bimino. And, well, chamira, there's not chamra. Chamira must be that we're talking about chametz, right? That it's a type of yeast or something. I don't know, maybe that's why, right? Barley and wheat makes more sense that it's a type of yeast than it is wine, right? Leaven, okay, yeah, so some type of leaven, right? Okay, it tricked me with using the word chamra. Chamra always means wine. Chamira means, okay. So now it changed to chamira. V'hai chamira mikri, v'hai chamira mikri. And this is called yeast, and this is called yeast, meaning the point is that they're two like kinds. V'avle min b'mino. V'kal min b'mino b'mashahu. And any min b'mino is always aser b'mashahu. So Rava says, again, this is Rava Nabai l'shitasam. Do you go basar the shame, or do you go basar the tam? So it's going to be aser b'mashahu. In the Chassam Sofer, in the Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer, he says, even though each one has a shame levoy b'fnei atzmo, meaning it's, what's Rava saying over here? I go past the shame, so vinegar is vinegar, but you call one vinegar of wine, you call the other one vinegar of beer, does the shame levoy mean anything? The fact that it has a secondary name? So he says, no, even though each one has a shame levoy b'fnei atzmo, still chad shema mikri, it's still called one shame, because the dama par and dama sayir, which is where we learn the whole concept of min b'mino, right, the Dama Par, the Dama Sar, they get mixed together, also has the shame levoy, each one. One is called Dama Par, and one is called Dam Sayer. So we see that as long as Be'ikr has shame, they're the same, that's good enough, even though there's a shame levoy. This is problematic because the Rambam, in Hilchus Macholos Asuros, Perek Tazayin, Halacha Tazvav, says, Shlosha Shemos Mimin Echad Ketzad. How do you have three different names that emerge from the same type of min? Karpas shal naharos, karpas shal efer, karpas shal gina. He talks about three different vegetables that all are called karpas, but they're called karpas shell different things. So even though each one has a shame of ne'atzmo, so the Rambam says, but they're all the same min on their own. So they're min echad, so they're mitzaref in order to give flavoring into a pot. So the Ravid asks, what do you mean? An argamara, chamira dechiti, chamira desari, chala dechamra, Chalad the Shichra, it's Chad Shema, the Gemara considers it one name, not that it's considered three different names. So you have to say that there's a difference, that when you would never refer to each of these karpases that the Rambam's referring to alone. You would never refer to it as just karpas. Whereas over here, you would refer to it as just beer, just wine, and the Gemara is just differentiating between the two different types of vinegar, the two different types of leaven, whatever it is. But you might refer to it without the shamely voice sometimes. Okay, Amar Abaye. Now back to this machlokas. So we have this machlokas. Do you follow the tam? Do you follow the shame? What's the machlokas based on? Amar Abaye. Mina amina lo debasar tai mazlinan. Where do I get this idea that we follow tam? That we're interested in tam? The tanya tavlin beis v'gimel shemos. If you have spices of two or three different names, vehein min echol min gimel, and they are one or three minim. So what does that mean? Vehein min echol min gimel. So Rashi explains min echol like pilpul lavan, pilpul shachar, pilpul aruch. They're all different types of peppers. One is called lavan, one's shachar, one's aruch, one's white, one's black, one's long, whatever. But they're all peppers. Min gimel is gimel shemos yeshlan, right? That they have three completely different names. So if whatever it is, asur to mitzarfin, they can they're asur and they could be mitzarf. They fall into a gedera, and none of them alone have enough. There's not enough volume of any single one of them to give tam into the gedera. But amongst them together, when you put them all together, they do have the ability to give tam into the gedera. Torah, then it's going to be mitzdarif to create an iser. V'amar Chizkiya hacha b'minim etikaskinan hol v'ruil matik ben asakadera. And Chizkiya says here, we're talking about all three flavorings have the similar sweetness, and because of that, the three of them together sweeten the entire kadera. So there's honey, there's sugar, and that whatever, three and corn syrup, three sweeteners, and they all have enough to sweeten the kadera altogether. So yeah, bishlama basar taima azlinan kulicha taimu. So if you're going to tell me that we go basar taima, so yeah, that's why they're all mitzarif with each other, because they're all sweet. They all achieve the same thing. Eliyam basar shmazlinan haishmaluchud vaishmaluchud. But according to you, Rava, that we go basar the names, well, these are three different things. One is honey, one is sugar, and one is corn syrup. They're not at all the same. So if you go basar shame, then they shouldn't be mitzarif. So that's my raya, says Abaye. V'Rava Amar Lach, Rava will say hamani rameirhi. No, when the brisa says tavlin of beis v'gimel shemel saying min echad min gimel that they're mitzarif, that's assuming like the sheet of Rav Meir. What's the sheet of Rav Meir? D'tanya, Rav Yehuda Omer Mishum Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav Meir, Minayin L'kol Yisurim Shabbatorah Shemitztarif in Zeh Mzeh. How do we know that the different Yisurim in the Torah all combine with each other? Shnemer L'sochal Kol Toeva. Kol Shetiyavti L'cha Hareu B'bal Tochal. Rav Meir happens to have such a shita that if you combine all different Yisurim, they all are mitztarif together to be one shir to ask for something. So that Braisa in Ochinami is assuming that even though they have different Shemos, they can be mitztarif, but that's because it's assuming like the shita of Rav Meir. But wait a second, if Rav wants to say the whole Braisa is only assuming like Rabbi Meir, What does he do with Chizkiya's comment? Chizkiya commented that the only reason they're mitzarif is because they all have the same flavor, that they all add sweetness to the pot. If they didn't all add sweetness, they would not be mitzarif. But according to Rabbi Meir, if this brisa, the holy soda of this brisa was Rabbi Meir, it shouldn't matter if they taste the same or not. Rabbi Meir holds kol shetiyavti lach. Anything that I say is an abomination to you. Anything God says is aser to you. Is automatically mitzarif, even if they don't have the same taste. So Rashi was clearly bothered by this kasha, and therefore Rashi says, and then Rashi adds two words, udechizkiya lesa. And Rav will say, I don't need to answer for Chizkiya. Chizkiya is an Amora. I just need to answer for the Tanaim. You quoted me a Braisa, and then you quoted me Chizkiya's explanation of the Braisa and said that it's a kasha on me. Well, guess what? I don't agree with Chizkiya. I think the Braisa is just going like Rav Meir. Now, Chizkiya is totally incorrect in his interpretation of this Braisa. So that's one simple way that Rav might solve the problem. Tosus, however, points out that it doesn't seem to be correct. He says, "V'lo nira dim kein ein alacha kichizkia midemaflag Rava ilave." If Rava, in fact, is arguing on Chizkia, then we would never paskin like Chizkia, because Rava is a basra versus Chizkia, and the halacha is hilchasak a basra. We always follow the later generations of the Amoraim in halacha. And the problem is in Masechta Shabbos and Daf Pei Tes, the Gemara seems pretty clearly to assume that Chizkia is correct la halacha. So therefore, we're back. Back to our question, what's Rava going to do with Chizkiya? If the whole explanation of this price is that we assume like Rav Meir that all different types of Yisurim can be mitzarif with each other, then why do they have to all be sweet? What is Rava going to do with Chizkiya's comment that they all have to be sweet? So says Tosfos, L'chein nira, L'Rava nami demuki l'kra meir isa l'chizkiya. Rava will actually agree with Chizkiya. V'afagav dam Rameir kol Yisurim shabator mitzarif v'afil b'lav mini mitika. Even though Rameir thinks all different Yisurim in the Torah can be mitzarif, even if they don't taste the same, they don't know, they're not all sweet. Mishum t'darish kol mashar t'yafti lach, because Rameir has this drasha that whatever God says to you is usher can be mitzarif with each other. Hanimili k'sha Yisurim be'en. That's if I take a little bit of this iser, a little bit of that iser, and a little bit of the other iser, I put it all together and mush it in one ball and eat it. So when it's all intact, it's all is what it is in their original form, so then they're mitzarif, it doesn't matter whether they have the same flavor or not. A little bit of chazer, a little bit of nevela, a little bit of yayin esach, whatever, I put it all together, and I have a kazayas of all of them. So that's when it's be'en, that's when it's going to be aser. Vaz vade mitzarif in chatzi zayis mizev, chatzi mizev l'chayev, afilu enim shavim b'metika, even if they don't taste exactly the same. Avuk shemu raven bitavshil. But what if they get mixed into a cooked food? food. So then if they have different characteristics, the characteristics of each of them are going to be batel. That's where even Rabbi Meir would need Chizkiya. Then Shein and Be'en, Ki Ha'id Tavlin Beis V'Gimel, like in spices that the Gemara is talking about over here, Umar Yishev and Tavlin Kedera, then Afil Rav Meir Modal Chizkiya. Even Rav Meir will agree to Chizkiya, Didavka B'mini Metika Mitzdarfin, that it's only if they have a similar taste, similar sweetness, that they're going to be Mitzdarif, because then they're all contributing the same thing to the Kedera that they're in. Kivin Shem Shavin L'matika Kedera. Avalim Einam Shavin B'mini Metika, but if they're not similarly sweet, lo mitzdarfin, then they're not going to be mitzdarif. Kivin Shem Shavin B'nisinas Tam B'Kedera. Since they're not Shava in the Nisinas Tam in the Kedera, Shazeb Balamatik V'zeb Balachazik, because one of them is coming to sweeten, the other one's coming to do the opposite. Okay, so that's how Rava might in fact actually agree with Chizkiya against Rashi. Rashi said Rava just flatly rejects Chizkiya. Okay, we are two lines from the bottom of the page, Samach Vavim and Aleph. Chala Lego Chamra, Divrei HaKol B'Nosin Tam. If vinegar falls into wine, everyone agrees that the shear is B'Nosin Tam. Right? If you look at Rashi, Chala De Isser, Lego Chamra De Heter, we're talking about Aser vinegar into kosher wine, Divrei HaKol B'Nosin Tam. Everyone would say that it's Aser B'Nosin Tam. D'chi Nafa L'Gavei, Lo Avi Dami Lei, Lo Berecha, V'Lo B'Taima. Because by the time the vinegar falls into the wine, it is definitely a Min B'She'ino Mino. It's not similar to the wine in smell nor in taste. And this is our Pesach to the sugya of Recha. That's the sugya for the rest of the daf. Recha milsa, Recha lav milsahi. That when the vinegar falls into the wine, it doesn't smell like wine, nor taste like wine. She'ena yayin mevatel Recha chometz, because the wine is not strong enough to be mevatel the unique odor of the vinegar. Ad shenisrab l'tocho, until the vinegar actually gets mixed in the wine and there's enough volume of wine to overpower it. Nor will the vinegar, when you're pouring a drop of vinegar into wine, the vinegar will not ruin the aroma of the wine, because the wine is so much more in terms of volume, so the wine will overpower the vinegar. Meaning, typically vinegar has a much stronger aroma than wine does. So typically, if let's say you have more vinegar than you have wine, the vinegar will overwhelm the wine very quickly, even before they touch, before they even meet. As long as the wine gets poured into the airspace of the vinegar kli, it's already going to lose its odor. But when you're doing the opposite, when you're pouring a drop of vinegar into a big barrel of wine, so the vinegar in the avir kli is not going to lose its aroma yet, but once it hits the wine, the vinegar loses the aroma. The vinegar is not going to make the wine lose the aroma because it's such a small quantity. So when it's aser vinegar into kosher wine, everyone agrees you just follow no Saint Tam because nothing happens in terms of the Recha. Chamra l'gochala, but when wine goes into vinegar, a little bit of wine into a lot of vinegar, Abayi Amar b'mashuhu. Abayi says it's going to be asr even b'mashuhu, v'Rava Amar b'no Saint Tam. Rava says you need no Saint Tam. Why? So Abayi Amar b'mashuhu, Rechi chala v'tayma chamra, chala. Abayi says it's b'mashuhu because what happened over here? You took a drop of wine and you poured it into a big barrel of vinegar. The second the wine, that drop of wine, went into the airspace of the kli that was holding the vinegar, the wine lost its aroma. It still tastes like wine, but it lost its aroma, it lost its recha. And recha is the more important determining factor in figuring out what it is, so it was already considered vinegar before it hit the vinegar. Now that it hits the vinegar, it's min b'mino. And the halacha is min b'mino is b'mashuhu. Recha chala v'tayma chamra, if something smells like vinegar and tastes like wine, like this wine that you're pouring into the barrel of vinegar when it's in the avir akli, when it's in the airspace of the kli, havle min b'mino, the halach is it has a din of vinegar, and therefore havle min b'mino, when it then actually falls into the vinegar, it's min b'mino, v'kal min b'mino b'mashuhu, and any tarovus of min b'mino is automatically b'mashuhu. Rava Amar, Rava says no, b'nosin tam, we're going to measure it based on shishim, based on nosin tam. Why? Reche chala v'tay mechamra, chamra. Rava says, I'm not interested in reyach, I'm interested in what it tastes like. And you're right, the metzias, you're right, that when you pour a drop of wine into vinegar, as soon as it hits the airspace, before it actually touches the real vinegar, you're right, the recha of the yayin is lost, it now smells like vinegar. But it still tastes like wine. And therefore, it's still considered wine, favle min b'sheino mino, and therefore it's a tarovus of min b'sheino mino, and the rule is called min b'sheino mino, b'no sin tam. Whenever you have a tarovus of min b'sheino mino, the halacha is always, b'no no sin tam. So that's the machlokas Abai and Rava. Do we follow Recha or do we not? Now it may seem a little bit backwards because before when Recha wasn't brought into the picture yet, and we were discussing is tam the determining factor or is shame the determining factor? So we said Rava holds shame is the determining factor. Abai said tam is the determining factor. Now over here Abai says forget tam. We're not so interested in tam because it depends what you're talking about. If you're talking about tam versus shame, tam is certainly more of a characteristic that means something to Abaye than shame does, but Recha, he thinks, is more fundamental to its very makeup and nature. That he thinks that Recha is going to be a more significant factor. And Rava disagrees. Rava thinks that if you isolate the shame issue, and you only have, or you exclude the shame issue, rather, and you isolate, is it tam or is it Recha, which of the two is a determining factor. So tam is a much, much greater determining factor than Recha will be. Fine, so that is the machlokas Abai and Rava. Hai bas tiha ovid kochavim b'Yisrael shaper dami. If you have a bas tiha, so what's bas tiha? Rashi explains, neck of nokfim b'magufas chavis, it will make a little hole in the seal of a barrel, la riach hasayayin, in order to be able to smell the wine, lebotko m'yachol iskayim, to be able to know whether the wine is on its way out, whether it's still good, whether it's very strong. So they would do quality checks by smelling, simply by smelling. So let's say an ovid Chavim smells a Jew's wine to check for him, see if it's good. So that's perfectly fine. There's no reason why that's not fine. So Tosfos bothered, what's the Havamino? Well, he didn't touch it, he didn't shake it, didn't pour it, he didn't taste it. What would be the problem? So Tosfos says, the whole point is that if a Jew does it to, if a Jew smells a guy's wine, so we're going to see that might be a problem. So the chiddush is that we're not going to make a gzera, a guy on a Jew, atu Jew on a guy. That's the whole chiddush, but not really chiddush minei ubei. So what if you have the opposite? Yisrael bedovid chavim, the Jew smells the guy's wine for a quality check. Abai yamar aser, Abai Yamar Asa, Rav Amar Mutra. Abai says it's going to be Asa, Rav is going to say Mutra. Why? Lishitasam. Abai Yamar Asa, Recha Milsi. Abai says Asa, because Recha means something to me. And therefore you're smelling the guy's wine. That's like tasting the guy's wine. That's Asa. Rav Amar Mutra, Recha Lav Milsi. Rav says, nah, smell, that's nothing. Amar Rav Amina, Amina, Lad Recha Velo Klumhu. Where do I know that Recha is meaningless? Titanan, because we have a Mishnah. Tanar She Siko Bekam and Shal Truma. Let's say you light up an oven and you use wood that's true. And then you bake bread in that oven, so the aroma of the wood gets into the bread that you're baking in the oven. So is that bread asr to an kohen? Hapas muteres l'fishen tam kamen el recha kamen. And the halach is the bread's going to be mutter because the bread doesn't taste like truma. It just has recha. It has aromas of truma in it, and recha doesn't mean anything to us. How's Abaye going to deal with that mishnah? Is that's pretty strong, right? That recha doesn't mean anything. Va'abaye shani asim demikli surei. Abai is going to say, no, over there it's different because the actual Isra of Truma is already burnt. It was used as firewood in the oven, which the way they would do it is they would wait till it burns out and then the heat of the coals of what's left would actually bake the bread. So Abai says, that's nothing. The Truma is already gone in that situation and therefore I'm not interested in the Recha. This is a major, major sugya, Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa in Maseches Pesachim. Now the Rishonim have a difficult time over here trying to figure out how this matches with the sugya Pesachim because Abai and Rava, the Halacha is always going to be like Rava, right? He'll look at Rava, except for the Al-Kagam. In Maseches Pesachim, there's a machlokas Rav and Levi, whether Recha is Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa, in regards to if you cook meat and milk in the, or kosher meat and non-kosher meat is really the sugya, basar nevela and regular basar in the oven at the same time. Rav says it's asur, the Recha is Milsa. Levi says it's mutter, Recha Lav Milsa. And it seems that Rava over there goes like Rav, who says that it's asur. Yet over here, Rava says that Recha is mutter, right? So which is it? Do we say Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa? So you have to be mechalik between the two sugyas in some way, between the sugya over there, and that's what Tosfos does over here. He tries to show, we're not going to have time to get into it, but he tries to show that the machlokas Rava and Abaye about Recha in our sugya is not the same as the machlokas Rava and Abaye in regards to Levi and Rav in regards to Recha when you cook two things in the same oven. And this is a huge sugya halacha l'maisa, because this is the issue of whether you can use the same oven to cook milchigs and fleishigs. So the whole sugya of recha, the truth is, it's very easy to get around the problem of recha. If you don't cook two things at the same exact time, then there's no aroma transferring from one to the other. You have one right after the other, you've solved the problem of recha. So why do we have all these problems with ovens? Why do we have to, kasher it in between, wait 24 hours? You have all these different shittos of what you have to do between cooking milk and cooking fleishig in the same oven. Uncovered, obviously, we're talking about. If it's covered, then there's nothing to talk about. Then recha is not an issue at all. Zeh is not. So the whole issue that we have when you're cooking uncovered, one after the other in the oven, is not an issue of recha. It's something called zeya. Now, the interesting thing about zeya is you can learn through Shas, all of Shas, 100 times, and you'll never see zeya come up. Zeya comes up in a Mishnah Maseches Machshirin, and about heating up mikvaos or something. It has nothing to do. It's not even brought up in the discussion of using the same oven. So that's the Rush made the issue of zeya famous. In the Tshuvas Rush, he said you have to worry about zeya. What's zeya? Zeya is not the aroma, but the steam. That the steam of one of the foods is going to hit the ceiling of the oven, and then when the next food goes into the oven, that steam is going to come down and drip back into the food. So that's what the major discussion has shown. When are we worried about zeya? When are we not worried about zeya? So that's how we get to all of our oven kashrus issues. Maybe we'll start with that tomorrow. Give a little bit of a clearer picture.